everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Info Chicago Bulls Coverage Show. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am here with my co-host and good friend here, Mr. Trey Hill. And we are going to just run with us today. I know we've had a couple guests on. We had Ryan Borja on last week. And the week before that, Mr. Stephen Bagel came on the show. So go check those episodes out if you haven't already, breaking down the Bulls cap situation. But this is just kind of a check-in episode to talk about all things Bulls and just some kind of quick hit, things. Shouldn't be too long. But Trey, how are you doing? Did you get a chance? Actually, the summer league game right now for the Bulls is currently going on where they're down, I think, 40 points or something like that. But have you had a chance to watch some of the summer league this season?
Yeah, I watched a little bit. I watched, I'd say, a little over half of the first game, which, of course, was exciting. And then I watched the first half of the second game against the Knicks. And yeah, as exciting as the first one was, this one has been disappointing.
Yeah.
But I've gotten to definitely see a good chunk of the Bulls so far in the summer league. So
yeah,
some good things, some bad things, but there have definitely been some things.
Yeah, we were going to watch this game between the Knicks and the Bulls and then do a podcast, but the way that we saw the game playing out, it's not super surprising. The Bulls have no experience, and the Knicks have Quentin Grimes, Jericho Sims, and some other players that have some NBA experience under the belts. And their defense was just – the Bulls couldn't do anything on offense. So it was kind of pointless to watch because it's not even real basketball when one team is just so lopsidedly better than the other team. But I will say a couple of good things I did see from Dalen Terry. This is the first chance I've got to watch from Trey. I didn't get to see that first game. I was working. So this is the first chance I've gotten to see Summer League. But I saw a couple of, really nice, full-court passes to the opposite wing, to the corner, off the dribble and off the pick. He could tell where the defensive pressure was coming from and had that presence of mind to find that open, shooter in the corner. Of course, being Summer League and being the guys that they are in the corner, they didn't shoot that ball, even though they should have. So it ended up being probably a turnover, which, the Bulls had, 5,500 million turnovers by the time I turned it off. But that's the right play, I felt like. So I thought that was really encouraging. And also, just the defensive, the speed on the defensive end, the ability to get from sideline to sideline, the athleticism is there. I know that defense is the one thing he has. One thing that, definitely struck me as something he needs to work on, which I know everybody's aware of, but his shooting. I saw him take a couple of threes, didn't look very comfortable out there. So that's something that he's definitely going to have to work on here before the season starts. But, I do think he profiles as kind of that Patrick Williams type of player right now. Trey, what do you think?
I mean, the low end Patrick Williams, because we saw what Patrick Williams was able to do when he came into Summer League, and he had that experience against real NBA players. And, as much fun as the first game was, this, like you mentioned, with the NBA experience the Knicks have on the floor tonight with Sims, with Grimes, I think the broadcast said they had 117 NBA games last year. So this was their first real experience against the NBA level talent, and the Bulls definitely got smacked in the mouth. For me, I was really watching, Dalen Terry, Lewis, and then Marco were the three guys who I think, going into the season, I hoped to see maybe get some playing time. And Marco showed he's likely not going to be effective against NBA bigs still. Maybe with better players around him, he might show better. But Sims ate him for lunch, mm-hmm. on both ends of the floor. Terry, I think, he's a rookie, but I think he showed, like you said, he showed flashes of the good feel for the game. He, on the defensive end, he'll be fine. And I think when he's the fourth best, the fourth or fifth best player on the offensive end, I think he's going to be much more effective than he is showcasing right now. So I think that's what I've seen from him. And Justin Lewis, I like the way he had a couple really good off-ball reads with Marco's just slow-footedness, inability to rotate. He switched over a couple times, even got a block early on in the game while it was still competitive, just off-ball switching. So I saw some things, but not having any playmakers of any caliber whatsoever out there for the Bulls, it's just what on offense, it's just four guys swinging the ball around the three-point line and just, you know, throwing something up when the shot clock runs down.
Yeah, so that's why we turned it off, because we were like, you know, there's really nothing to be gained here. But yeah, I do like Justin Lewis also. You know, let's just touch on that a little bit. Justin Lewis signed to a two-way contract with the Bulls, so now they have his rights if they do want to sign him to a guaranteed contract later in the season. Like you said, you know, I do like the things I've seen out of him. I do think he's got some really good athleticism. I think he's, you know, it's not somebody that we're going to get super excited about. He's like an end-of-the-bench type of player at best. So, you know, it's not like we're going to go out there and say, oh, Justin Lewis is going to be the next, you know, whoever that went on signed, you know, Isaiah Thomas, or no, Isaiah Thomas even go unsigned, but whoever that went unsigned that went on to be a really good player. We're not saying that, but I think he, you know, could be a good end of bench type of guy. So I like what I've seen out of him. But yeah, Marco, that first game, you know, I think he had what, 27 points and 13 rebounds or something like that. You know, we're sitting here thinking, oh man, maybe this guy has what it takes. And then all of a sudden, like you said, Bulls are getting smacked here. But again, this is a game where it's not easy to take things away from it, because just the Bulls just have no offense whatsoever. As you said, there's no playmakers on the floor to really get those guys involved. So I'm not super concerned. I think Marco, I think the fact that the Bulls went and signed Andre Drummond is not a good sign for Marco and his ability to contribute this year. But, you know, perhaps next year, you know, is a different story, or perhaps later this year, you know, if there's an injury or something like that, we might see Marko Simanović on the floor. So I'm not like super high on Marko, but I think that there's some potential there. And I think that, you know, I do like the fact that he came out and had a good first game in the summer league.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, and with the Bulls getting down so much so quickly, I can understand being discouraged and that kind of bleeding through. And he did have a poor showing, but hopefully he can get it ironed out, especially bigs need that playmaker who can get them involved, unless they're one of those special unicorns. So
yeah.
Looking forward, like you said, he's the break in case of emergency, which we'll do fine. But Lewis and Terry, I think, are the two guys who we expect to play maybe a little bit in the regular season, especially if Lonzo's not healthy. So if they can continue to show the flashes, that's really all I think as Bulls fans we should be looking for. We should be looking for how are these two going to be able to contribute when they're the worst player on the court on the offensive end, and on the defensive end, how are they off ball? How are they whenever they need to come over and help on a drive? Do they rotate quick? Like, are they on point on their rotations, or are they sloppy and not closing out in time? Those are the things I think we really want to watch for. And so far, I think they've done all the little things right.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So I don't know if we touched on this in our last episode, Trey, but, you know, so you talked about Lonzo Ball, and obviously that's like one of those big, you know, clouds that kind of hangs over this full squad is, you know, how healthy is Lonzo Ball? So, you know, I don't know if we really talked about the basketball implications so much of the Goran Dragic signing. I mean, do you think that this is a guy? I mean, obviously he's up there in age, but is this a guy that can step in if Lonzo is hurt and doesn't start the season? And can he play, you know, 30, 40 games for the Bulls and start? Is this, you know, is this going to be our starter if that happens? Or do you think he's just another guy that's kind of breaking case of emergency?
I mean, I think he could start and play 20 minutes a game type situation. I don't think he's going to start and play 28 to 32 minutes a game. For me, ideally, he's, you know, coming off of the bench, navigating the second units, because with DeMar and Zach both playing in the starting lineups, they're going to be, you know, dominating the ball a lot. And while we preach wanting to have a playmaker out there with them, I don't know. I hate having Goran be the starting point guard for the Bulls after everything. Like, I would almost rather Caruso start at the point guard position and have him still come off the bench.
Yeah, and especially because, you know, you do need some scoring in that second unit also, and it just feels over and over again like Kobe White, you know, it's like he's on his last legs as far as like a Bulls, you know, career goes. I mean, I think he's going to stay in the league, obviously. He's got the talent on the offensive end, but it just feels more and more like, you know, we're seeing the last of Kobe White in a Bulls uniform probably this season, because I don't think he's going to get traded, maybe at the deadline if he has a good start to the season.
So here's my argument for leaving Dragic on the bench. Who's the best playmaker to make Kobe White to bring up his value before the trade deadline? I think Dragic is the best guy to make him look good. If you're looking at Io, Caruso, or Dragic, which of those three is going to make him look best in terms of setting him up as a scorer? Because I think that's how Kobe White is going. That's his value, is scoring.
Yeah.
So who's going to accentuate that value the most? I think it's him.
Yeah, I think Dragic does have that ability. You know, one thing I will say is that the Bulls, you know, having those three, you know, the three-headed monster of DeRozan, Levine, and Vucevic, they tend to, you know, stagger those guys. So there's one of those two, either DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine on the floor pretty much with Kobe at all times. So, you know, the question can be, do we think Dragic is better at setting up Kobe than those guys? And I don't know if that's the case because of just the simple, you know, fact that of the gravity that a DeMar DeRozan or a Zach LaVine has. You know, they draw the defense so much. I think that really opens things up for Kobe. But to your point, though, I do think that, you know, when you're talking about guys that have the floor vision and the ability to get people into their spots, I think Dragic, you know, he's been a veteran. He's been a player for a long time in the league. He's an established veteran. I think he is a good option for that. But I think DeRozan actually is probably the answer I would give you, honestly, for who's the best to set up Kobe White, because he's, you know, again, drawing the defense so much that Kobe ends up getting open lanes and, you know, open shots.
Well, way to just completely go off the script from my question of saying, which guy would you like to come off the bench with Kobe White?
I don't answer questions.
And you're like, let's bring DeMar DeRozan off. Like, no, okay. But so going into the season, we've seen the rookies. I think it's fair to say they're not going to have huge effect. You know, they're not going to make a huge impact going into the season. We've seen this team before. We know the East has gotten better.
Yeah.
Do you think the Bulls host the playoff series next year?
Yeah, so that's the same kind of question I have for you. Yeah, I mean, the Bulls are running it back, so that's a good question. So are they going to be a top four seed in a different, you know, different wording of that? I think there's a potential there. You know, we had the same roster last season and led the East for a period of time. I love the Celtics signings, getting Gallinari and getting Malcolm Brogdon. I think they are pretty much the, set in stone number one seed in the East for me. I don't see the Bulls being better than the Milwaukee Bucks. I really don't in my heart of hearts see that happening. I'm
right there with you so far.
I still have some doubts about the Heat. I know the Heat did end up first in the East. I don't know.
I'm picking us over the Heat.
There's just something about that squad that I'm like, I mean, I think they had a good season, and I think it, you know, when they got to the playoffs,
finished first in the East. I think they had a good season. Yeah. But you're right though. There's just something about Miami where it's like, I don't fear them.
And they lost P.J. Tucker, so I don't know. I could see them finishing above the Bulls, but I think I would take the Bulls above them if the Bulls are healthy. And then you've got the Sixers, obviously, who I think the Bulls will have a rough time getting ahead of the Sixers. Sixers are a pretty loaded squad, and they also got better. So I think top four is doable. I think you can get that fourth seed. I think that's doable. I think that's, you know, maybe – let me ask you this. Let me throw this back to you. Is that the best-case scenario? Because we're not going to get the third, second, or first seed over those three teams I just mentioned, right?
I think the Bulls could get the third seed. They're between injuries, you know, things not gelling. You know, when Al Horford went to the 76ers to play with Joel Embiid, we thought, oh, man, this is going to work fantastic. And it was a disaster. So maybe P.J. Tucker, you know, comes in and doesn't work out. But No, more than likely, I think four is the ceiling unless injuries come into play. But I think it's reasonable to think that the Bulls can get there. You've got the Heat, the Raptors, the Nets, and the Hawks, I think, are the real contender. And the Cavaliers. I don't want to short them. And the Cavaliers. Those are the teams that are going to be vying for that number four spot. But if Zach...
The Hawks are interesting, too, because of getting DeJounte Murray. We can't sell that short. He is a very skilled player. I'm a little questionable about that fit, but sorry, go ahead.
Oh, all offseason, continuity was what they preached. We'll see how much that matters because, you know, Harden is still new on the 76ers. The Raptors, they've got their core, but I like the Bulls a little bit better than them if the Bulls could actually have a healthy season.
You know what gives me some hope?
They've got, you know, Nets, Hawks, yeah. they're all, you know, everything's scrambled up. But the Bulls, if they can run it back, I think they can be the four seed.
You know what gives me some hope here, though, is that, you know, Nikola Vucevic, it was a down year for that guy. He did not shoot the ball, especially at the beginning of the season, did not shoot the ball, you know, particularly well. It was just not a great year for him. I thought he played actually really well defensively. I liked what I saw of him defensively, honestly. But if we're rolling with the same squad again, I'm looking for a better season from Vooch, and I think it's possible. And so that's something that I think can raise your ceiling a little bit. And then obviously the next biggest factor is Lonzo Ball's health. And that's going to be, for me, the biggest question mark. Because I think there's no question that Vooch has a better season just because he had such a bad one. But for Lonzo Ball right. being healthy, I think that's still a question mark for me.
I think they tie hand in hand. For Vooch to succeed, you have to have Lonzo out there. You have to have Caruso out there. You have to have that aggressive defense that can help cover for him. To make it like a football analogy, you can't build your offense around having two like speedy wide receivers, one on each side to just take the top off the defense and then have them both get hurt and then wonder why your offense doesn't work. It's the same thing with Vooch. You can't take away the things that are going to make him look great and then wonder why he doesn't look great. So health, I think, is going to be the huge thing. And I know, like, if you look at the numbers, you're going to say, like, on offense, those guys shouldn't have mattered as much for Vooch, but they're going, like, Lonzo's going to get him better shots. Caruso's going to get him better shots. And not even the better shots. When you're playing well and you're doing well on defense, I feel like you do better on offense. I feel like the mental aspect of the game that matters a lot for players. And Vooch was getting killed all season. Like, last season had to weigh on him, and I really just want to see him come out and thrive from the start.
Yeah, and there were some things, you know, I did have some episodes last season. You can pull them up and get the receipts on me where I was ticked off at Vooch just as, you know, the fact that he couldn't play the defense. He couldn't meet the defender high on the pick and roll, which supposedly he was supposed to be doing. I don't know. There's some confusion with that. But I thought that there were other times where he did it well. And overall, if you're looking at the season as a whole, I did like what he did defensively. I have no problems running with him as a starting center, honestly. I do wish the Bulls would have a different one. You can pull the receipts on that, too. I've said that all last season. But at the same time, you know, I think that Vooch is a very skilled player, so I'm happy with him, too.
You were never – and nothing you said was unwarranted in the moment. Like, I'm not saying that the people who were criticizing Vucevic weren't justified in doing so, but –
people take it to the extreme, though. They go, you know, get this guy out of here. Like, you can't look at this with, like, you know, you're going to look at it with a microscope at certain things that he doesn't do well and then just totally ignore the things that he does do well. That just makes no sense to me. So, you know, I'm not one of these guys that's, you know, out there going, hey, this guy's awful. Get him out of here. Vooch is the next Boozer. Actually, that's one of my friends said. He's the next Boozer. Boozer was worse than Nikola Vucevic. I promise you that. If you're around to watch Carlos Boozer, he was not very good. Listeners, please take a moment to follow at EthosFantasyBK on Twitter, the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on earth. Get all your NBA news in one hand Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition, provides more analysis too. Again, that's at EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. Go follow it now. So yeah, I'm not a Vooch hater, quote unquote, but I'm not necessarily his biggest like fan either. So I guess that's where I fall there. I'm a little bit more reserved in my Vooch love. But you're talking about one thing that struck me there when you were talking there, Trey, was you're talking about, you know, the Bulls getting out and playing defense, and that's what, you know, helps them to have the confidence on the offensive end and things like that. And I think that's true too. But I also think, you know, I talked about this ad nauseum last season also, was that the Bulls were one of the best teams at getting out in transition off of, you know, defensive, you know, creating turnovers and scoring buckets in that way. So I one thing, you know, we're talking about Dalen Terry in this episode, watching him in summer league, you know, that's one thing I think that he can help with the Bulls also. I think the Bulls have a lot of guys that can go out there, create turnovers, and also, you know, get on the wings and finish in transition and get out there and run with everybody. So that's one thing that gets me excited also, is the fact that, you know, the Bulls can get back to doing that, which was an exciting brand of basketball. And then when Lonzo Ball got hurt, the Bulls got significantly less exciting to watch. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, especially watching in summer league, I think drafting in the 18 spot, Dalen Terry is the perfect guy to be able to come in and to play the style of basketball the Bulls want to be able to play with their reserves. You know, we had the type like Malcolm Hills of the world last year coming in whenever everybody was injured. You want someone who's more aggressive, who Dalen Terry, he already might be like the second best at getting over screens on the entire team, and he's a rookie. Mm-hmm. You want to have that type of talent to be able to bring in and to keep that pressure going, because it's great for the starters to be able to do it. But if you can keep it on for the whole game, that's when you just wear teams down and just suffocate and break their will, you know, in the second half. And that's what I want to see the Bulls be able to do.
I'm salivating over the thought of, you know, a second unit, some second unit minutes or some minutes against the other team's second units that feature Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, Dalen Terry, Patrick Williams. And it doesn't even matter who you throw at center there, because all four of those guys seem like they can guard, you know, 1-3, 1-4. And that's really, you know, what we're going for here is just positionless basketball, which has been more and more what the NBA has been transitioning to. And so I'm here for it, man. I love it.
If teams are going small, you could just throw Io in there.
Yeah,
and
why not?
Patrick Williams be the five.
Patrick Williams can be the five, or, you know, whoever. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't really matter. But yeah, it's maybe a little small for my liking, but I like your thought process there. Maybe you throw somebody in there like Derrick Jones Jr. That's probably you like him as the backup center. So I think that's probably who I'd like to have in there in that scenario. But yeah, I just think, you know, I think the Bulls, the ceiling probably is, like you said, you know, just barely getting that home court advantage, third, fourth seed. So let me ask you, is that enough for you? I mean, I don't really see this Bulls squad as it stands, as it is, competing for a championship. Do you?
No, they would have to have everything just break right. Zach would have to be the superstar he's been sold to us as. You know, the whole his knee was only 50%. Look what he could still do. Mm-hmm. That would have to break right. So for me, I think third or fourth and being that pseudo contender, I think is an okay place to be, because Zach is still fairly young. We've got him signed through his prime.
Yeah.
And the Bulls are making themselves a destination the next time somebody wants out. Stars are moving all of the time now, and the Bulls were the team connected to Rudy Gobert before they basically said, no, we don't want to trade Patrick Williams. The Jazz offered them a deal, and they turned it down. We could have had Rudy Gobert before the Timberwolves decided to give up, you know, everything for him.
Yeah.
So to me, I think as long as the Bulls can continue to be in position with Zach and be an enticing place for a trade, that's good enough. Like that's good enough for me. That's good for me. What about you?
Yeah, no, I agree with you, man. I think, you know, it's really difficult to become one of those favorites for the title. You have to have a lot of things break your way. You have to get lucky in more ways than one. You have to get lucky in the draft. You have to get lucky in free agency. You know, even if you get LeBron James in free agency, if you have nobody around him, as we saw with the Lakers last season, it doesn't matter. You know, it's not one player wins you games anymore. You know, and it really wasn't even when Michael Jordan was doing it. You know, people like to say that, but there are some very talented players on those 90s Bulls teams, obviously. So it's a team game. And so you have to get lucky in more ways than one. And right now, I think the Bulls are – I think that's what it is. I think what it is with Arturas is you position yourself to be a destination for free agents. You position yourself to be, you know, someone that can draft well, that knows how to get, you know, talent late in drafts. And, you know, we've seen that. You know, there's a track record there for Arturas to get, obviously, you know, value in drafts, late in drafts. So I'm happy with it. I think we're doing the right things. I think that, you know, if you're a fan out there and you're thinking it's got to be championship or bust, this just isn't, you know, maybe go find a different sport, because that's just not going to be a realistic viewpoint in the NBA. Just like you said, people move all the time. Even if you think you have the Brooklyn Nets with Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving, and you're guaranteed a championship, right? And look how that turned out. There's no guarantees in this league. And obviously injuries play a part in that too. So it is enough for me. I'm happy with it.
And let's say worst case scenario, everything goes haywire for the Bulls. It's just a disaster. You've got Vucevic expiring, you can trade. You've got DeMar DeRozan, who you could package him with, you know, probably Kobe White, and trade for Russell Westbrook and get a couple firsts out of it.
Let me say this. If and I don't mean to cut you off.
Zach LaVine could get a ton in 3 years.
I was gonna say, if in 2 or 3 years, if things don't go well, I'm excited to see the young talent that comes to this Bulls team, because yeah, like you said, you know, maybe Vooch isn't around anymore, but you know, DeMar will still be around in an expiring contract in a couple of years. Like you said, Zach LaVine, oh man, you could package that guy. At that point, he'll be what, 29, 30 years old, 31 maybe. But he'll still have some left in the tank. So if there's a contender out there, you know, you're getting multiple draft picks back and stuff like that. So you know, it's not like we're watching the Bulls team, you know, after Jordan left and everything, where it's like there was no hope on those teams at all.
No, there's plenty of hope. And the Bulls have set themselves up to either, A, if things go well, they can be a contender by trading for a guy who wants out, because things are going well and they've put themselves in a position to do that. And if things go poorly, they can either try and retool around Zach LaVine, Lonzo's young, Caruso's still young, Io's young, Patrick Williams is young. You can try and retool around that young core, or you could even really blow it up, trade Zach, and go super young. Mm. You know, trade Caruso, trade Zach, even trade Lonzo, and go super young. So, you know, the 2K options are endless for the franchise players out there. And it, as disappointing as it was how the Bulls season ended last year, having so many different options that the Bulls can find success with it's an exciting place to be as a Bulls fan.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not too upset that they stood pat. You know, there's not a whole lot of other updates for you guys, so I think we're just going to cut it off here. But like you said, Trey, I think, you know, whichever way this falls, whichever way the chips fall, it is a promising future for the Chicago Bulls franchise and the direction that they're going. But folks, just before we get out of here, there is no such thing as a fantasy offseason, only the pre-draft season. And here at Sports Ethos, this draft season has already begun. Our expert analysts are churning out important lessons learned and draft analysis on incoming rookies so you can get a jump on your prep. And we'll have incredible free agency and summer league coverage as well. But only if you're part of our premium member team. Head to sportsethos.com now and click on the premium tab to grab a fantasy pass today. Seriously, cook yourself an extra lunch per month, because it's only $5.99. Just see you there. Okay. But yeah, that's going to do it for us. I'm Keith Corf. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the people find you?
On Twitter at Finally.
And don't forget to follow the show, guys, at Ethos Bulls on Twitter, at Ethos Bulls. And please, if you're out there, leave us some 5-star reviews on iTunes. We can really use it. I haven't got one in a while. So I'm looking at you, person that's been listening to the show nonstop and hasn't done that yet. So go do it. Take 5 minutes out of your day and put a smile on my face. So until next time, guys.